On March 28th, tremors from a distant earthquake in Myanmar shook Bangkok. Out of hundreds of buildings, only one collapsed. A 30-story tower under construction meant to house Thailand's state audit office. With the structure too unstable for machinery, rescue crews dug by hand. As of April 11th, the toll stood at 27 dead, 9 injured, and 67 still missing, according to the Bangkok Metropolitan Administration. Among them is a 17-year-old girl on her first day of work. This man traveled from Ubon Ratchathani, wrote MP, Dr. Tosaporn Sererak in a Facebook post. He stood at the site for 13 nights, waiting for news about his daughter. It was her first job in Bangkok. The building collapsed on her first day. He had come to Bangkok with hope, waiting day after day for news of his daughter buried beneath the rubble. But while families like his stood vigil, others moved in the shadows. Just one day after the collapse, four Chinese nationals were caught sneaking into the restricted zone, attempting to retrieve confidential documents, including construction files, inspection reports, and contractor IDs. Authorities say the materials could be crucial to understanding what went wrong. Why did only this building fall? And why the rush to erase its paper trail? This wasn't just a collapse. It was the moment a construction failure became a corruption scandal. On March 31st, Thailand's Ministry of Industry released test results showing that steel bars collected from the collapsed state audit office building failed multiple national standards. Lead investigator Thitipas Chodachachainen confirmed that the steel failed tests for mass, chemical composition, and stress endurance. The bars bore the brand Sky, produced by Shinke Yuan Steel, a company registered in 2011 with 80% Chinese ownership. Critically, the steel originated from a factory in Rayong Province, which had been shut down by Thai authorities in December 2024 after a gas tank accident and multiple safety violations. At that time, officials seized over 2,400 tons of steel from the premises. Thitipas told reporters, "We can prosecute any manufacturer and seller of substandard products. We will also inspect the factory to ensure it has not violated the shutdown order." Photos circulating online show concrete slabs and rebar separating entirely, with no bonding visible between steel and cement. In proper construction, steel bars are meant to integrate with the concrete to resist structural pressure. But in this case, the rebar looked almost loose, suggesting low-grade cement, improper reinforcement placement, or rushed curing. In the words of one analyst, the main column on the first floor fractured as if it had been overloaded by gravity. The collapse had no resilience. The steel used was DB32 and SD50 grade, which according to Thai regulations is inappropriate for high-rise buildings. These types are known to have hard outer layers and soft interiors, making them prone to cracking under stress, especially in seismic events. Further investigation revealed that the steel bars had been rapidly cooled, a process that may increase brittleness. Bars were marked with T symbols, indicating they had undergone quenching, which can result in inconsistent strength and premature failure. The evidence suggests that substandard materials were not just present. They may have been central to the collapse. Structural red flags before completion. While search teams continued digging through the ruins of the collapsed state audit office tower, investigators began assembling a picture of what may have gone wrong long before the earthquake hit. Although seismic waves triggered the collapse, early evidence strongly suggests that design decisions, construction shortcuts, and a flawed procurement model may have set the stage for disaster. According to statements by Thai officials, the building was only 30% complete at the time of collapse. Despite its early stage, it had already progressed to the curtain wall installation and interior finishing phase, a sign that structural work was largely done. Industry insiders raised concern about the design methodology. The building reportedly used a core tube and pre-stressed beamless slab system, an approach that reduces the need for load-bearing beams and saves interior space. But this method carries inherent risks. First, it relies entirely on the columns and floor slabs to bear vertical and lateral loads. If just one column fails, there are no beams or shear walls to redistribute weight. Next, pre-stressed slabs require precision tensioning, secure grouting, and slow curing, none of which tolerate shortcuts. An eyewitness said, "The building collapsed vertically rather than tipping or cracking. It disintegrated in seconds with no resilience left. While the earthquake may have triggered the fall, the building's collapse was engineered long before the tremors reached Bangkok." Investigators have turned their focus to one key question. Was this structure ever capable of standing at all? A structural engineering expert from Imperial College London put it this way. "From the shared footage, the collapsed building in the video follows this very problematic design and combines it with extremely slender columns that are more prone to failure. A thorough forensic analysis is needed, but this building type is no longer recommended in earthquake-prone areas." This is not just a hypothetical concern. In June 2021, Champlain Towers South in Surfside, Florida, collapsed, killing 98 people. Investigators discovered extensive corrosion, structural instability, and insufficient redundancy in the beamless design, prompting global scrutiny of such structures. So, how did we end up here with the State Audit Office Tower? What made this project a flagship of such an ambitious initiative? The building was constructed by a joint venture between Thailand's Italian Thai Development PLC, ITD, and China Railway No. 10 Engineering Group, CREC No. 10. The partnership, known as ITD CREC 10, won the government tender in 2020 to build the 2.1 billion baht headquarters for Thailand's State Audit Office. This was billed as a key example of China's Belt and Road Initiative in Thailand. China Railway No. 10, a subsidiary of China Railway Construction Corporation, was chosen to handle the structural implementation. But as the project progressed, signs of rushed timelines, cost-cutting, and growing concerns started to surface. According to statements from Mana Nimit Mongkol, chairman of Thailand's anti-corruption organization, the audit office project had been under scrutiny as early as January 2025 due to severe delays, labor shortages, and suspected use of substandard materials. He revealed that his organization visited the site multiple times and found that the number of on-site workers was far below the required amount. Construction progress was slower than expected, but paradoxically, signs of rushed finishing work began to appear. As deadlines loomed, it's likely that contractors attempted to accelerate progress by cutting corners, removing temporary supports too early, undercuring concrete, or rushing grouting and pre-stressing procedures. All of these are high-risk shortcuts in high-rise construction, especially in buildings relying on beamless slab systems where structural tolerance is narrow. Mana stated that there may have been a rush to finish, which led to neglecting construction quality. But these warning signs aren't new. They fit a familiar pattern seen in other large-scale projects built by Chinese state-owned contractors, particularly those operating under the Belt and Road Initiative, BRI. In China, such projects are often referred to as tofu dreg projects, structures that appear sound but crumble under real-world pressure. The phrase became infamous after the 2008 Sichuan earthquake, where hundreds of school buildings collapsed due to thin rebar, poor quality concrete, and rushed construction. Critics argue that China's overseas contractors export this exact model abroad, offering low bids using Chinese materials and labor, and prioritizing speed over structural integrity, often under the assumption that regulatory scrutiny will be weaker. The signs in Bangkok echo that model. Steel sourced from a blacklisted factory, rebar that failed national standards, construction timelines manipulated, and on-site worker shortages followed by last-minute acceleration. A construction expert said, "Reducing material cost is essentially a polite way of saying using substandard materials. Improving efficiency often means cutting procedures." When a project designed to house Thailand's audit authority collapses in this fashion, it doesn't just raise technical questions, it raises the political one. Was this building ever safe to begin with? Or was it doomed the moment it followed the blueprint of a system that rewards speed and silence over strength? That's why Thailand launched a special investigation. On April 2nd, Thailand's Ministry of Justice officially escalated the State Audit Office collapse into a special case, transferring jurisdiction to the Department of Special Investigation, DSI. The announcement, made by Justice Minister, marked a turning point. What began as a structural disaster was now being treated as a possible criminal conspiracy. The decision followed growing public pressure, reports of falsified ownership structures, and mounting evidence that foreign contractors may have bypassed Thai corporate law through illegal nominee arrangements. According to Lieutenant Colonel Yuthana Pratum, Director General of the DSI, preliminary findings revealed that Thai nationals listed as shareholders in companies linked to the collapsed project lacked the financial capacity to actually hold those shares. This strongly suggests a nominee structure, a method used by foreign companies to circumvent Thai ownership restrictions, which limit foreign holdings to 49% in many sectors. While not illegal in itself, using nominees to hide true control violates Thailand's 1999 Foreign Business Act. Lieutenant Colonel Yuthana stated that, "Evidence suggests foreign nationals may have dominant control over operations through joint venture agreements. These Thai shareholders are also connected to at least 3 of 13 affiliated companies involved. China Railway No. 10, Thailand, is under investigation for allegedly using Thai proxy shareholders to establish local corporate presence, while remaining de facto controlled from China. But the inquiry doesn't end there. The DSI confirmed that the contractor behind the audit office tower, ITD Krek 10, was previously awarded 10 other Thai government projects. Those contracts, awarded through public tenders, are now being reviewed for signs of bid rigging, collusion, or procedural fraud." DSI spokesperson said that, "The investigation will cover how the construction contract came about. This includes potential violations of the 1999 Act on offenses related to the submission of bids to government agencies." So, what began as a building collapse is now a nationwide probe, with all parties in the joint venture summoned. The DSI is working with the Royal Thai Police and Ministry of Industry to trace the money, the materials, and the accountability. As the investigation deepened, public scrutiny intensified, but the key players remained silent. China Railway No. 10 Engineering Group has not issued any public response, even as images of separated rebar, pancaked concrete, and deleted online records spread across Thai and Chinese social media. The state-owned contractor has declined all media inquiries. Instead, the Chinese embassy in Bangkok issued a statement on April 1st, expressing condolences and affirming its cooperation with Thai authorities. The embassy emphasized that Chinese companies operating abroad are instructed to comply with local laws, and confirmed that rescue experts and equipment had been sent from China to support ongoing efforts. The embassy also said that they believe the investigation will lead to scientific and fair conclusions. Meanwhile, the ITD Krek 10 joint venture released a short statement urging the public to await the results of official inquiries, insisting that all construction had followed proper procedures and relevant laws and engineering standards. No representative of the Italian Thai Development Company has spoken publicly, as investigators zero in on construction shortcuts and possible corporate fraud. A broader question has begun to dominate Thai public discourse. Why was this building funded, designed, and partially built by a major Chinese state-owned enterprise, the only one in Bangkok to collapse? The answer may lie not just in faulty rebar or weak concrete, but in a development model that has drawn global criticism for years. China's Belt and Road Initiative, BRI. Launched in 2013, the BRI was envisioned as a vast infrastructure plan to boost China's global influence by exporting its capital, labor, and industrial overcapacity. In exchange, recipient countries receive roads, railways, ports, and increasingly, skyscrapers. Thailand formally joined the BRI in 2017. The State Audit Office building was one of the highest-profile symbols of this partnership, built by China Railway No. 10, a subsidiary of China Railway Construction Corporation, under the ITD CREC 10 joint venture. But now, it's being cited as a case study in the risks of outsourcing national infrastructure to foreign state-backed contractors. This approach might keep bids low and deadlines short, but it outsources the risk too. The steel used in this building failed basic safety tests. The construction was plagued with labor shortages. And when it all fell apart, the digital footprint of the project was erased from Chinese platforms, suggesting not transparency, but evasion. In April 2024, China Railway No. 10 held a topping-out ceremony in Bangkok, celebrating the completion of the tower's structural frame. Company banners flew, speeches praised Chinese engineering excellence, and domestic media platforms amplified the milestone as a triumph of the Belt and Road Initiative. But following the collapse, the narrative shifted. Chinese engineers began claiming the building was only 30% complete. The discrepancy was glaring. If China Railway No. 10 had already topped out the structure nearly a year earlier, why was the project, by their own account, still less than halfway done? Was the topping out ceremony simply for show? Or is this 30% figure now a convenient way to deflect accountability? As scrutiny mounted, something unusual occurred, not on the ground, but online. Chinese platforms began purging content related to the building. Posts from state-linked media like PhoenixNet and NetEase disappeared. China Railway No. 10's official Weibo account went silent. Search results for Bangkok Collapse or China Railway No. 10 returned little to nothing. Public questions on Chinese forums were quietly erased. One user asked, "Your building just collapsed. Could you at least acknowledge it?" The comment was deleted minutes later. What remained was a carefully sanitized timeline, stripped of context, memory, and responsibility. It was a digital cleanup operation, consistent with China's well-documented playbook: deny visibility and the crisis disappears. But this isn't the first Belt and Road project to end in controversy. In Sri Lanka, the government handed over control of Hambantota Port after defaulting on Chinese loans. In Pakistan, the China-Pakistan Economic Corridor has become a flashpoint of delays, rising debt, and armed attacks on Chinese workers. In Kenya, Chinese-built railways have been dogged by opaque contracts and cost overruns. In Indonesia, a CRCC-led high-speed rail line ran billions over budget. And in Laos, China-backed dams and railways have sparked environmental concerns and accusations of regulatory neglect. These projects began as symbols of Chinese ambition. But one by one, they've exposed the real cost of outsourced infrastructure: debt, delays, discontent, and, in Bangkok's case, disaster. In the days after the collapse, a majority of Bangkok residents told pollsters they now doubt the safety of government buildings altogether. In a recent survey by Nidapol conducted just days later, nearly 80% of 1,300 respondents said they had little or no confidence in government office buildings and government residential buildings. 49% said they were not very confident, while 31% said not confident at all. Reactions in Thailand and beyond have been swift and cutting. The term tofu dreg project, once used to describe shoddy schools in Sichuan, has now been repurposed for a collapsed high-rise in central Bangkok. On Chinese forums and Western media alike, one line is being shared again and again: China looks like a global superpower, but if it collapses, it might fall just like this building. One shake and everything crumbles. That's all for today's episode. But before YouTube sends you down another random rabbit hole, check out this video I made on China's mysterious missing population. Where is everyone? It dives deep into what's really going on with China's numbers. Watch it. Let me know your thoughts, and thanks for watching. See you in the next video.